Welcome, everyone. It's the Wrestling Show. I'm Kev Manning. All of my nonsense is at Lingus Mafia. You can follow me there. I'm joined by the number one pro wrestling source, all your inside news. He's Billy Body.
What's up with you, Kev?
My main question was, how long do we have to keep doing a wrestling show? It's so fucking bad, dude. It's so fucking bad. Here's how bad it is. The best highlight of the night, with Nia Jax screaming my hole, I didn't even know it happened until the next morning when there was shit all over Instagram. Because I have so spaced out, and I'm fucking through the phone, I'm weaseling through fucking pictures on phones, and
Pornhub,
jizzrag.com, whatever. And then fucking, I'm not watching. Like, I have the match written down. I write notes for fucking matches for this show. And I have it to be where it says, I actually wrote, this is how fucked up I was. I had to go back and correct it. I wrote Shayna versus Baszler. And then I realized, fuck, it's Naomi versus Baszler. What the fuck am I doing? First name and last. And I can't tell you how the match ended. That's how fucking much of a, just, it's just a fucking bore. There is, it's, oh, I'm so fucking aggravated. It's just, and I don't want to be one of these people, Billy. I don't want to be, everything's bad. I'm a sour put all the time. These guys, all they say is fucking negative. I say when something good, Roman stuff, I like Roman. I mean, they're not 100% with Roman all the time, but at least you're always like, oh, that's something for me to look forward to. Almost. You know, it's something because it's still kind of new with the character. So, you know, I look forward to that, but I'm like, when it was Drew and fucking Randy, I give two fucking shits. I don't care. It's nothing fucking good. It is not, there is not a fucking story I give a shit. They make us wait with fucking Edge because, and logically that would make sense. He would go, well, why would I pick when I don't even know who the fucking champion's going to be yet? That makes sense, at least to me. What are your overall, are you just, I mean, you used to fucking stay up. You're 8 hours ahead of me, California to England. Mm-hmm. You used to stay up to watch fucking Raw because you had to. It was, I don't want to fucking be ruined for tomorrow. You, what time do you fucking disappear now? And half the time, you're not, I don't think even when you're up and wrestling is on, you're fucking flipping channels.
What, you mean how I watch the Raw?
Yeah, like, how, when are you, no, like when it's going on, are you asleep before it even comes on now? Or do you maybe catch the first hour and go, I'm going to bed now?
No, I go to bed at an hour before it starts. But I watch something else. Like, I am now, so if I'm watching like The Office, or what's the other one I'm watching at the moment? The Supermarket on Netflix. Like, I'm going through like two series, and what else? Something comedy about Philadelphia, three guys.
Oh yeah. And Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm in between these. My comedies are like my bedtime watching. But I'm enjoying like some of them, and there's a lot of Office to watch. So I go to bed relatively early. So I'm in bed at like 10:30. So I don't even check in on this show. Like, if I'm up at 1, and I have previously been watching The Office at 2:30, 3:00, checking the NBA, scores, whatever. I'd rather do that. I don't think about what's happened on the show. I don't think like, oh, I flick in and, oh, I wonder how they open Raw, and I wonder what the end of the start of the second hour segment is, because they're normally important. I don't care. I know it's not going to be important. I will watch it in the morning. It will be something to do. It keeps me on my exercise bike. It's the only way I'll exercise. I have to exercise. I have to watch Raw. So in my mind, I'll be like, look, every Tuesday morning, I will get this hour and a half done. I'll sit on my bike. I'll suffer through the eyes and the legs.
You know, I was watching, and usually I'll take a shower right after Raw's done. It's over at 8:00 for me. And I'll take my nighttime shower. I'm a nighttime shower guy. I don't like that morning shit. I sleep as long as humanly possible before I have to fucking leave. And I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to fucking shower. So I'm watching, and what I was most looking forward to, and I postponed the shower, was Stone Cold show afterwards. I enjoyed to watch that show 100 times over Raw, and they had Brett Favre on this week, which I was going to tell you you should probably watch. I get far more entertainment from that. I like an interview show, something like this, and it was interesting. Brett Favre was in fucking rehab 3 fucking times. I didn't know that. I thought it was once. And it was a good fucking show. And we get our, you know, childhood in there with Austin, shit like that. But fucking Raw's bad. I mean, I enjoy SmackDown. I would say at the least it's 5 times more than Raw. And it's probably because it's 2 hours. I say it all the time, but it seems they have things going on. They have more of a story in things that are happening. And we'll get to that right now, getting into SmackDown. I actually watched SmackDown Monday. I was behind because usually I watch it on Saturday morning. I don't make the girlfriend be a fucking wrestling widow for that one. Raw, I do just because, you know, it's... Because I got to watch it the fuck. I got to do this the next day. So I don't got time to watch 3 hours in a fucking morning.
Yeah. It's like if you've been doing something your entire life, mm-hmm. you know, you really, it's so, I don't know how bad this would have to get for me to consider stopping. There would be so many stages for finality. It would be like, all right, so, I mean, I'm fast forwarding bits and pieces. That's what I'm at. But like, I don't think I'm ever, if I don't quit now, I ain't ever going to quit.
No.
I don't
think. We're never stopping this. That's 100%. We will never stop watching.
Think about this, right? Think about this. So think about how long you've been alive, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I've let's just round my age up to 40, which I'm not. But I have watched this, right, mm-hmm. for 75% of my life. In fact, I've watched it longer than that because I'm not 40, and I watched it from 8. So in the 37 years that I've been alive... Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you following this? I've watched it. I've watched it for 29.
You know, I've said to a lot of people, like I always say, I started watching when I was 5, but that can't really be 100% true. It's between when I was 5 and 10. I know Hogan is champion, and you know, I'm watching Saturday morning superstars, things like that. So I'm 45 now. And I was like, Jesus Christ, it's about 40 years I've been watching this. 40 fucking years I've that's watched. Crazy. It is.
Yeah, it'll be that's funny though. It's like, 'cause you've watched it so much longer than me. I will be 30 years in just after WrestleMania 7, which is coming up this year. So yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe did I start around Mania 3? But I do. I mean, I saw them all as they came out on VHS. I would go to the store with my buddy, and we would have, you know, spend the nights.
This is my point. If you've been through the tapes and like, if you've been through all these stages, you've been through the tapes and the action figures, like the Hasbro figures. If you went past that, right,
mm-hmm.
and if you got round to, I don't know, collecting the Jax. Next up, they did a deal with Jax, so there was Jax figures. You know, you're talking about Vader, Shawn, Brett, Austin came through just about. I remember like being a teenager and I was thrilled, like cause it's before YouTube and stuff, where you got that yellow CD called Full Metal. And it was the first time you got the songs. Mm-hmm. Actually play like the music and shit anytime you want. I think if you got through like the Hogan era into that era and then into the Attitude era, like it's very hard to like get out of it because at that point, it had to get really, really bad. If you got through 93, 94, 95, I mean, it's worse now because A, I'm not a kid anymore and it's not a 1 hour show. It's not like Todd Pettengill or going through an hour of Raw or whatever. It's like a lot of fucking shit to watch. But I think anybody that can say, oh, I watched this for half my life or 60% or 70% of your life, you're not going to stop. It's just too much. It's the commitment is more the other way. It's like, I'm going to make a commitment to stop. It's like, okay, I know the cigarettes are killing and destroying my lungs, but I need to still have like a couple of puffs.
I had the wrestling figures that were, and I hated them, the fucking giant ones that were fucking stuck in a position. That was trash. Those were fucking garbage.
They're the most valuable now.
Man, and I remember I had a Brutus, and Brutus was my guy. And I remember taking a razor blade to the tights to make them the same tights he had, so it was see-through on the sides. It would carve out and be the fucking same color as his body. And then I had the fucking hard plastic ones that would do... Hogan would do a body slam, like his arms would go up together and push down. Those were the main ones. But I used to actually play with the thumb wrestlers. They had those. And those were the best because I said, I could put them in all different positions. I could fucking roll them up into a small package. I could do all of that. So that was what I used to play with more so. And I had I made a fucking wrestling. I think my mother made it. And like with the ropes and everything. Like I had a whole fucking setup and I used to write the fucking shows. I had all storylines, which I'll tell you were better storylines than what I'm fucking getting now. So yeah, it's been a long time. I remember my very first pay-per-view was SummerSlam 88, watching it live. The other ones were all like, closed circuit TV. You couldn't. And if you were lucky to have one of those giant fucking satellites in your backyard, which I didn't have. So watching on TV, I remember where I was to watch SummerSlam 88. But all the other ones, it was every fucking weekend, spend the night at my buddy's house. We would go to the video store and get whatever wrestling tape we could find that we didn't see. So I got all the WrestleManias one by one. We're watching all those. And you know how they have just the compilations like at Madison Square Garden, all that. But so we did that. And then we would wrestle fucking mattresses, pillows, and My Pet Monster and have fucking, you know, make cardboard belts, all that shit. And now I'm 45 fucking years old and I want to fucking put a gun in my mouth. I'm thinking, when I was 10, would I have begged for how many hours there are of wrestling now and a network? I don't know if I would have done anything else if it was back in those days, though. Like now, I don't know if growing up now I would be as fucking interested. It's not something that would keep me glued to the television, I don't think.
Well, I've got a kid. He's not that as interested. He's already been to WrestleMania and stuff. You'd think, like, you know, with the people he's met.
Yeah. And you, you know, having everything and, you know, I mean, it's a different level. And he's like, whatever.
Yeah, he's not hooked into it at all.
All right. Well, let's get into fucking SmackDown. So Roman, Paul, and Jay come out right off the bat. And apparently Jay couldn't do the Royal Rumble, but he's good enough now to be here on SmackDown. The fake You Suck chants, which drive me out of my fucking mind with that. Roman's pissed. Because Edge isn't there yet. He's like, why am I out here and Edge isn't here? And then they tell him Edge isn't even in the building yet. So he's like embarrassed by this and how dare he. But he says, I want an answer if he's facing me at WrestleMania or not by tonight. He's got to give me an answer. So there's your, you know, oh, we got to wait for Edge. Dominic versus Corbin. Corbin jumps Dominic on stage and Louis Mysterio. With his fucking cool little outfit Mysterio has, he throws them all off the stage and then goes to have this match with Dominic. And Mysterio's like laying by the stage for quite a while, nursing a knee injury. So all of a sudden, though, he emerges from underneath the ring and holds onto Corbin's leg, trying to get back in the ring. Dominic, stomps him from this and gets him in the ring, and then he frog splashes. And Dominic actually beats Baron Corbin. Sasha is going to be at the Daytona 500 to start the race. I'm shocked. For one, who at Daytona? Those Southern hillbillies, it's NASCAR and wrestling probably, so they probably do know her. But she's a black chick in fucking race cars. That's, you're looking for fucking trouble.
So what are you saying? They won't find her attractive?
No, I think they'll want to hang her.
Really?
These are hillbilly fucking white people for fucking NASCAR. They'll be like, why is she over here?
Can't be that bad.
It's fucking, it's the South. It's Alabama. It's Mississippi. Yes, it's fucking, they don't take kindly over there. And who the fuck wants to go to that fucking, that ain't no damn sport. You drive, you have your blinker on a left turn for the whole time. Brian versus Cesaro. Sharpshooter. Brian taps. Cesaro wins. Do you think they're building him to do nothing? And Brian, he just keeps losing, so he's got to be like Mr. Money in the Bank. He's going to do something because he hasn't won a fucking match.
Yeah, it's weird the way he is losing, though. Like, he's losing clean, like, giving up, mm-hmm. and tapping out on all sorts. Like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how you could tell a story like where he suddenly, you know, gets good.
And then they're like having Cesaro be good guy-ish where we kind of know that he's not going to be. But, I mean, maybe they change paths. But he's shaking hands. He gets cut on the fucking head. He was bleeding. But, I mean, we've all thought Cesaro should be elevated more. But I think the charisma part is a problem, obviously. Because it's not like where they go, oh, well, they can't talk. And he said, I talk, I speak, words come out of my mouth. Yeah, he can speak. It's not that. It's that you can't put your finger on charisma. You know somebody is fucking charismatic or not. And he's fantastic in the ring, can do some fucking crazy shit. He's strong as fuck. But it's that, I guess like Vince said, the connecting with the audience part. And they had him where he was connected a while ago, and that was that whole fucking Andre battle royal. But then they just don't fucking continue on. They don't continue to push where he could have legitimately been the world champion and the crowd would have gone fucking ape shit back in the day. And now it's like you've passed it fucking by. And that's always the problem with them. They don't, they want to push a different direction until they can't and they have no choice. And then they come back to it and then realize, oh, oops.
I don't know if he could have been the world champion at that point, but I just don't think, I disagree that everybody needs to fucking speak, because some of the moves that he did when he had when we haven't seen it. The thing is, we've seen this moveset, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the moveset that people have taken and then beaten him. Whereas I think if you just did it on moveset alone, if he was just a big like power guy that did ridiculous things that had a ridiculous moveset, I don't think the talking was like that important, especially when you had him with Heyman, like the time you're talking about.
Yeah,
that him with Heyman, I don't think he needed to do too much. Like Curtis Axel, who was also with Heyman previously, wasn't spectacular at anything. He didn't have a great look. He wasn't a great wrestler. He was all right. He was like, you know, solid. But he wasn't a great talker. He was just Mr. Perfect Son. So that was more of a difficult sell. Like Cesaro has a good look, and he did things in the ring that most people can't do. Like that swing and everything.
Yeah.
Swing and the uppercut off the... did he do a backdrop uppercut? Was that someone else?
No, he throws the guy up in the air and does the uppercut.
Oh, that's right. Ludwig Borger is the one that does the backdrop uppercut into the gut. I don't think it was fundamental in this particular instance that he go out there and be the Rock.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not like Brock is some fucking talker, but you know, he goes out there and beats the piss out of people. But like they've tarnished Cesaro by losing so much, where it's a rough road back. It's a real rough road back. Bianca, she gets interviewed in the back. It's the whole I made it here, you know, that whole fucking story. Bayley versus Ruby. You know, Ruby looks very hot when you stare at Liv the whole match. Bayley tries to get a distraction here and help. She's always does the wrong fucking thing, and Bayley wins this match. And then she tries to hand her 8x10s to fucking Bayley instead. Bianca in the ring to give her decision. The Samaritan shows up and he says, you got to fight Asuka instead of Banks because you can't handle Banks. Hell, you can't even hang with Carmella. Carmella comes out with a body that won't fucking quit. How nice was that outfit, Billy?
Oh my God, her body's ridiculous.
Those tits were on display and out for everyone.
There's no one that's got a body like that.
Yeah, that was... It's like, from the neck down, she's top of the fucking line.
But you don't... What's up with her head?
She looked like an Afghan to me. Not the country. The dog. Yeah, she has an Afghan face. Not saying, you know, I would turn her down, right? Sasha...
No, she's definitely gone up in the...
Yeah, to Miss Lingus, she's going to have a lot better time. That's for sure. Sasha shows up with bird legs. I appreciate that she tried to have a new hot outfit. This one did not work. She needed to have those fucking leg things up higher if she was going to do that. Otherwise, this just made her look like she had stick legs. And she says to Bianca, you know...
Look at Cap, Mr. Gay Stylist over here.
And then I thought she should have had her eyes done. She says to Bianca, I saw you pick up Otis. Did you realize that? That she said Otis?
She has got a lisp, and she like, and obviously she's got that Jersey. Is that where she's from? Like, she's from Jersey.
She's from over here actually, and then Boston. So she's over in Massachusetts. But she, yeah, I mean, I think that's just more uneducated saying Otis. She doesn't know it's just Otis.
What did Miss? I didn't put it down in the notes, but Miss said something on Raw. He was talking about fuck. I'm not going to remember it now, but it was something to do when he came out and talked about opportunities or something.
Maybe I'll remember by the time we get to that on Raw. Okay. Otis and Gable versus the Dirty Dogs tag team title. New music and Triple H jackets for Rude and Ziggler. So they fucked Otis. They broke up a tag team. And just to put him back with a tag team, Tucker's barely employed. He's going to be unemployed soon enough. They had him with Mandy. They just completely erased the him and Mandy thing. Never mind it ever happened. Let's forget all about it. They will never seal this up. Street Profits are on commentary from the back, and they're fucking fully nig-nogging it up. They are fucking shucking and jiving and fucking doing the ooh with the hand over the mouth. Ooh, you see that, fam? I want to fucking hang myself is what I want to do. And this Montez,
I don't think we can say nig-nogging it up on the show.
Oh, okay, then nogging it up.
I'm disassociating myself in that comment. But I do have comments about Black History Month.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to you. Listen, if anyone wants to cry about saying certain word, right, I have equal opportunity offender to every race. That includes the white. That includes the fucking Chinatown. Everyone is free range. This is the days of, do you remember the comic Lisa Lampanelli?
I have no idea what that is.
I will send you clip. All she did is make fun of every race on stage, and you will be fucking in tears. It's every stereotype she attacks. It's the fucking greatest. Nowadays, God forbid she would be able to do it. She'd get in trouble. But listen, I could do what the fuck I want. It doesn't matter. Nobody can control me. So fuck off. If you can't get a joke, then this show is not for you. Listen, if people are offended by anything on this show, they wouldn't be listening to this fucking show because we've been doing this style for a long fucking time.
Yes. And he could say what his dad's did.
Yes, my dad is dead. I could do anything I want. Everyone knows that fucking rule. In fact, I have that tattooed. Profits, as I say. Now, Montez is a Chicago Bears fan. He is full Chicago, right? He cannot pronounce the word Illinois. You got to be fucking kidding me. I don't even think that's a black thing. He said Illinois versus Wisconsin this weekend because they flashed that on the screen. Fuck. We know who wins this match. Who gives a shit? The greatest rib ever is having a giant full promo for Black History Month. Let's have Rosa Parks celebrated. Let's talk about Dr. King, all his lovely work. Let's talk about Black Lives. Let's have Big E narrate. Let's have Titus narrate. You wouldn't have R-Truth narrate because that's stereotype. And then we finish, and let's follow it up with Hulk Hogan. This is the greatest thing I've ever fucking seen in my life. Do you think they fucking did a wink about this?
It's right up there with the McRibs when you're talking about ribs. I just 100% think that someone did. I don't think that it was, you know, deployed by management, but I do think somebody, maybe they didn't do it on purpose because they're like this, but I think someone obviously realized, but then thought it was really funny.
Yes, so, I think somebody sees it and goes, I wonder if anybody's going to fucking notice this and doesn't say shit.
Exactly. That's what I think actually happened. But I'm glad they didn't because it was funny. But the thing is, I didn't notice until Twitter noticed, and then I noticed. It was like that. I mean, I didn't notice on first viewing. Did you?
No, I did notice after everybody says something, obviously. And the thing is, there was a commercial in between it. So it wasn't like, let's finish all that and then, hey, brother. That would be really fucking... I might have noticed it then. I think they broke it up nicely with that middle.
I think it would have been great if he'd actually mentioned in his promo and said, first of all, let me give a shout out to all my blacks out there.
Me and JYD, we used to be brothers. Celebrating Black History Month, it's a IC triple threat, and that's Apollo Crews.
I'll say it now because you mentioned it. Why is there an entire month for this?
I don't know. There's a month for everything, though. There's the gay month.
Exactly. Why is there a gay month? Like, I understand all of these people think they were oppressed and they were, right?
Sure.
But why do they have to have an entire month about it? I don't understand. Like, because
there shouldn't be any parades about any race at all. There shouldn't be a fucking Irish heritage fucking parade. There shouldn't be an Italian parade. There shouldn't be fucking Chinese New Year parade.
But at least it's Chinese New Year's one day and St. Patrick's Day is one day, right? Mm-hmm. I can understand. Like, we got 365 days. We got 12 months. Like, this whole month shouldn't be like gay or black or what else did WWE do? They do another month. Did they women's?
Tit cancer in fucking October. Yeah.
A women's, do they have a women's month or something?
I think that's just October. But they don't do asshole cancer the next month.
But they do. I remember there was Black History and then there's like a month that they do around it, but they've got rid of it. What was that? It was either before or after Black History Month, because I remember it's a back-to-back where we get something, but like one of them's gone. What was that?
I don't remember that. All I know is the Susan G. Coleman shit.
Yeah, there's that in October, but there's always something back-to-back. Is it like Latino month or something?
Cinco de Mayo. That's May, but they wouldn't have... You know what? They might have the fucking Spanish Heritage fucking month. You're right. But
they did do it. I'm sure they did do it.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
These are not worthy of months. Look, I understand everything that happened, right? But in about 50 years, anybody that was a slave is going to be dead. So all of these people that are going to be alive then just live normal lives. Like, yeah, they're like grandparents or great grandparents. Like, I feel the same way about, you know, we always do that, the memorial stuff and the poppies and everything on the 11th of November.
I don't think anybody who was a slave is still alive, by the way. I think that ended Abraham Lincoln time.
No, not necessarily. Like
segregation, yes. Slavery, I don't think so.
No, when I went to, my dad was born in Africa. When I went to Kenya in the 80s, there were still two black slaves there.
In Africa?
Yeah.
Well, that don't count then. That's how the hell they imprison them. It's like a white person getting another white person as a slave. That shit don't count. No, dragging someone to another country and making them a slave. That's a different story.
That family are not black. They're Arabs.
I was going to call you the N-word.
Actually,
so they would call you a sand.
But his auntie still had like two black guys working in their house.
Oh fuck! Let's just flush our careers down the toilet, Billy. Fuck it.
Anyway, well, I'm about. So that's the thing. Like, I don't think that anybody deserves much. Like, think Black Day, right? Black mm-hmm. History Day would be such a good day. First of all, you'd get up late. Right?
You don't go to a job. Okay, what else? You don't pay your child support.
You don't go to a job and you have Black Day chicken. Like
all McDonald's are half price in KFC.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like what's for Thanksgiving dinner? What's for Black Day dinner? Oh, it's the
chicken. Oh my god, you'd have grits, you have a nice
yeah, like chicken.
Oh my god. Oh fuck. See, this is better than wrestling, I'll tell you that. Apollo versus Sammy versus Big E, IC title. No more LeBron chalk in the beginning anymore, if you realize that. That's I totally forgot about that until this week. He doesn't come out and bang the chalk up in the air. Apollo gets rid of Sammy while...
That's not good. Oh, good. That was a differentiating trait. So maybe they've given up on him.
There you go. Yeah, I'm like, okay, he had to come out and do that. Maybe the opponents are like, I fucking got this chalk all over me because of this fucking guy. So Apollo gets rid of Sammy. Big E's down. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go get Big E. He slides back in the ring and Big E just puts him in a big ending, fucking pins him. I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck was that? Edge, he's in the ring to make his choice finally. And Roman shows up and says, you need to acknowledge me, and gets all upset. And then Owens just comes in the ring and stuns him and shows over. So we're still on the Owens thing with him because he's probably going to go, listen, you were on the ground more than 10 seconds because I handcuffed you and Paul couldn't get you out. I win.
Right. That would be the legitimate reason for it, though.
Yeah. He should use it. Go, hey, you never fucking got it. I mean, he squatted after 50 minutes, but Raw.
How many more matches you could do with these two, though? Like, what style of matches left? If Roman's in the chamber, and Owens is just in the chamber, that could be one thing, like, where they don't actually do another match out of it. But, yeah, it's difficult to think. Like, Last Man Standing's pretty final. And Hell in a Cell now only gets done during Hell in a Cell season, so...
Mm-hmm. Adam Pearce is in the ring, and he brings out Shane McMahon.
This is terrible.
You know, it's funny because they announced the Elimination Chamber, and it's Orton, AJ, Hardy, Miz, and Sheamus, and Drew, of course, and this is for the title. And, like, AJ comes to the ring, and he's going to fight Jeff Hardy, and all of a sudden, just, Shane is gone. I'm like, people just disappear. They're going out of the fucking, I go, why was he even here? Bringing back Raw Underground? What?
And Adam Pearce has like got a weird face and he goes, oh, I got Shane here to announce it. And then they do, and he goes, you're doing a great job. He fluffs his lines again, like he was doing, you know, previously when he was there. He was going, I want to tell you, you're doing a great job with this match. And that was the other thing. They were going, who came up with this match? Who came up with this like revolutionary idea? It's a fucking Elimination Chamber.
And it's always every year.
And next pay-per-view, the Elimination Chamber, all they did was put people in it. I don't understand what they were talking about here, where he was going, you came up with this, it's a great idea. And it's like, what idea? Like, what idea is this? I don't understand. It's the fucking Elimination Chamber. What were we going to have? Like, 7 straight-up matches.
So we get AJ versus Jeff. Jeff taps out. Riddle's in the back with Keith Lee being a retard talking about Air Bud. I prefer the movie Air Caligula. That's where the dog throws a javelin, but that's different.
Do you know Jeff's in his title match I don't think he's won a match apart from, I think he won one match against Elias. That's it. I think he's like 1 in 400, like for the last year, and he's in the title match.
He's just there. Sheamus yells at Adam in the back for not getting a 1-on-1 match with Drew. He's upset by this. We need something big for the chamber, you have.
Oh, no, because I thought here you was like Shane ran into Drew. You've said that you've gone straight to Sheamus complaining, but I wanted to talk about Shane and Drew.
Okay.
Drew says, oh, you didn't give me a heads up. He goes, I thought we were cool. Like, you didn't give me a heads up. And he goes, and I thought I was having my 1-on-1 match with Sheamus. You know what Shane's reply was? You will get your 1-on-1 match with Sheamus. We just needed something big for the chamber.
I saw the thing where he was like, Sheamus yells, oh, I'm not a draw? Gets all pissed off.
Yeah, because I think he probably like added that. I think he probably like heard that comment himself and was like going, fuck me. And then reacted off it. Because there's no way someone put that in a script. That's just got to be Shane and Drew ad-libbing live. And he just turns around and goes, yeah, we needed something big for the chamber. It's like,
you should ask him, but it might get reported on. I don't know.
Yeah, whoever's doing that.
Yeah, we have someone, by the way, listening and doing us wrong, by the way, not reporting correctly. If you're going to report things that we say that we know about or hear about, please quote correctly. So you could quote me and spell Nignon correctly when you report that I said these words. But just report things correctly. Don't fucking embellish and make the headline completely different than what we have announced.
They will now say, like, Barty and his colleague repeated the word nignog throughout the show, and I didn't even say it, but, like, that's what they'll do.
Exactly.
It's like the way they reported that I said that McIntyre was a poorly paid champion without any context at all, talking about me specifying why he would be, because everyone this year has not been paid their full contracts because nobody made the minimum number of appearances. There's things in WWE contracts called downsides and bonuses, and everybody just got their downside. There's no bonuses to make because nobody hit a bonus. And, like, they didn't report that. It's like, oh, Barty said that Drew McIntyre is the worst drawing champion, the worst paid champion. It was like, I said to him, how you doing? Like, he was like going, yeah, can I borrow some money, please?
Well, I mean, other shows had to buy pizza for the guy. So, I don't know. He might not have any money.
I thought this, I always wanted to be the champion, but this gig ain't paying that great. didn't say that, did I?
Jesus Christ. Well, make sure when you spell Lingus Mafia, do that correctly. And put my Twitter handle at Lingus Mafia. Kofi and Woods versus Slapdick and Teabag. Ali is on commentary. And he says their lives are literally at stake tonight.
I forgot who won this. As you said it, my brain was like, who won this match? It was like that voice was like, who won?
Well, Kofi and Woods won this match.
Right. How did they win?
I don't know. I know they won. They were on stage celebrating afterwards. And they were all upset in the ring. So I know they won. I couldn't tell you how. But I was just more my note about that they said their lives were at stake. I was like, fuck, they're going to murder them. Shit.
He was actually good at talking until he said that, because I picked up on that too, because he said their lives are at stake, right? Which is,
and he said literally at stake. Yeah. That's what's even worse.
That's the part I'm about to add. But then he said, you know, and he could have said their lives are at stake, but he said their lives are literally at stake. Like, I thought his relatives were going to fly into the thunder.
Oh! Oh my God, reading the Quran as they fucking crashed in. Bad Bunny, go ahead.
He put a poster up, like, he tweeted out a picture of his wife and his cousin.
Now, if people don't get that joke, Ali put a picture of his wife on there. And
listen, I can say it because my family are the same religion. And my dad's sister is married to her first cousin.
Yeah, you guys are camel jockeys over there, so it's okay. No, it's fine. That's why Billy had to get a fucking nose job, because everyone's married to each other's fucking cousins over there. So, you know, he wasn't perfect, so he had to fix his nose.
I went out with a girl that was married into my family.
Oh, my God. Well, it's married in is different. That's not blood.
It's not, well, it's not, but I've known her since I was three. I was three when she was born. Yeah, and I've known her since she was born.
Started dating her at three, too. Bad Bunny and Priest are in the back. I guess now we're going to have Bad Bunny on every fucking show, because we found out that he's training now there.
Oh, I found out about. It's not going to just be Bad Bunny, but they can get Cardi B. And so they're doing, I'm supposed to say this for Russo's, but I'll just say it again on there. So they can get all these people because these people don't have a touring schedule. And apparently, like, everybody, every musician that they reached out to, because they're trying to hook in the young people. That's their plan, because they think this is the audience they've lost. So they're not worried about people of our age, because they're actually, the numbers are not declining massively at that point. They just don't have any viewers in that. So basically there's a big void between like 11 to 20 year olds that don't watch this product at all. Which is weird, because that's when I like really got into it. But like, they've lost that audience completely. So that's why they're doing this stuff. And now they think they can get them back through through bringing in these people. And they can get all these people because there's no tours. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that they haven't had any negative conversations with anybody they want to bring in. And this guy's available like all week.
You know, I would think so. What else he?
But the other thing that I was talking about this guy this week. So Russo was telling me how you know, because he's like into the music industry and stuff. And he was telling me how this guy was 100% manufactured in terms of like what happens is they buy, record companies buy their own music. And they said this guy's, especially with like being on Spotify and whatnot, and obviously buying singles now is like 50 cents when it used to be like $4 or $5 just for a single. So yeah, like they can basically put some money to the side to manufacture an artist. And once they, you know, once people see they're like number one, just for a little bit, then people will latch on and start buying it, especially if it's in this audience. So if it's like a Chinese guy or a Latino guy and they see like one of their own guys is doing really well, they will all like fucking buy it. That's how he got to where he is, in Russo's opinion.
It's kind of like podcasting. It's like you could do your own thing and make your own money yourself. You know, you don't need, especially because there's no more like buying CDs and shit like that, you know? So, let's see. Flair with Lacey in the ring. They clear things up. Flair's pissed because he's shit on by his daughter, not showing the respect, you know, of all his knowledge and everything. She kind of shits on him, which is true. She tells him fuck off constantly. We've had this. Lacey says she just gives respect and, you know, tries to learn. Charles Flair shows up and Lacey says, hey, we should just be friends. We could be tag partners. She says no. Lacey says she's going to beat her. Lacey says the official said she could be the number one contender if she beats Charles Flair tonight. And, you know, Charles says no or something. So she attacks Charles like a real bad guy because she lost the singing contest. So she attacks from behind. I didn't come this far to come this far.
I picked up.
This is some quote. You're bothered by, you say, Charles looks slower and sloppy now. I did see, and here's the thing that I'm doing myself a disservice because I'm so bored by the show. Like I said, I'm tooling around online and shit like that instead, where I see clips the next morning where fucking Charlotte runs at Lacey and stops because Lacey was supposed to do something and it's just bad because she didn't fucking go through with it.
Yeah, she's supposed to grab her leg and she's supposed to fall backwards.
It was like, fuck, so she just punches her in the face or something. And I'm like, okay. So that match, who cares? Black History Month, they spotlight on...
Whoa, that match, who cares? Like, okay, that's fine. But Lacey's now the number one contender. Lacey's going to beat Oscar for the title, right? And she's going to fucking face Charlotte at WrestleMania. Do you understand we're going to have to sit through this match at WrestleMania?
And you know what I was thinking while I'm watching the two of them?
And Charlotte's going to be a 14 fucking time champion.
Because she has to break her father's record before he dies, right?
Yeah, and that means she's going to win it all this year then.
Well, you know what's funny is while I'm watching this, I start thinking, Flair's the dirtiest player in the game. Is he doing this to actually be with Charlotte? And that's the swerve after all that? He fucks over Lacey? And that was the plan?
What do you mean be with Charlotte? Like they're going to be, like they're going to kiss?
Yes, they will do incest because Flair don't care what he puts it in. No, that he's going to obviously like turn on Lacey. And that was all a plan to help Charlotte all that time.
I'd be very, well, and then so that could be like, so if that would mean Charlotte's turning heel, the only person that got screwed in that is Oscar. Because Charlotte can't be a babyface then if she needs Ric Flair to help her beat Lacey Evans. That just means she's trash.
I'm not surprised if Charlotte goes back to being a bad guy because she's like the Big Show at that point.
She can't be a good guy though. She's awful. Like there's this comeback. There's something not right about her. She doesn't look right. I know the boobs are smaller, but they're still okay. They're not like they didn't take them down to nothing.
Yeah.
But still, it's not just the boobs. Her movement is slow. Her promos are off. Her acting is off. Like, it's just boring. There's something not right. I've always enjoyed her, but like this time she's come back, it's just like, yeah, there's something really off about her at all. Like her matches are really bad and this story's not good. And she's not someone you want to root for. She's always terrible in the babyface spots, but at least the first time they did it, she went from heel to babyface and it was new, but then they realized that, you know, she works better as a heel. So this time, this is a second go at babyface, I think, maybe third. It's really, really not working. I can't imagine anybody who, like, desperately wants to root for Lot Charlotte, unless you're, like, some fucking female bodybuild, teenage bodybuilder who aspires to be in the WWE and she's your role model. I don't know why you would like her. Like, what? Tell me why you'd like Charlotte.
Oh, I never. I mean, just because of the name, probably.
Yeah.
Do you think they should sign Paige, the other Paige, the blonde Paige? You know which Paige I'm talking about?
No.
Van Zandt.
But she's in the. She's just signed for a new fighting company.
Yeah. Did you see what happened to her on Friday?
Did she lose?
Fuck yeah. You got to follow her Instagram. You should read the captions. Oh my God. Everyone's like, you're fucking awful. Stop already. And the first thing she said to her husband after the fight was, I don't want to fight anymore.
Yeah, but that's the thing. She's gone down. Like, I mean, she lost at UFC. She was always a top 10 fighter, but she was losing. You know, there was like a case. Okay. Like, so you can't beat anyone that's good. Like, you can win at a certain level, but you can't beat top people. So I think the company signed her because they thought, you know, she could be our champion.
She could be a draw because she's gorgeous,
Exactly. And it would bring eyes because everybody wants to see her fight. Everybody wants to watch her fight. I bet that's the thing. Like, everybody wants to see her. If you build your name up and in fighting, like, your sex tape is worth a lot more. Like,
and I thought the same thing. She's going to be leaking. I mean, her Instagram is something else. It's really something else. She has a lot of fucking things in there. A lot of bikini, a lot of fucking thong shots, a lot of this.
Instagrams, like Chelsea Green's is a good one. I still like Toni Storm. I know she's getting fatter, but I still think that she's hot. I think
the day she stops working out, she will blow up like a fucking monster.
Oh yeah. You can see she's blown up just from the injury and she's not got the weight off.
So I was like, I even wrote on the page thing. I said, go to WWE. You'd be so rich so quick. You'd be the biggest star because if she could pick it up at all, you know, I'm like, she'd be up in a minute being that good looking and just fucking doing her shit. Cause she's a name. Okay. Let's see. Black History Month. They spotlight that troublemaker Rosa Parks. And then we had Edge talking in the ring. And he says, I can't pick who I want. We talked about this earlier. Miz, Morrison, and Garza. Now they're all, three of them are friends together now. He says he's going to cash in when Edge has a match. And Edge goes, what are you, a fucking idiot? You tell me that you're going to cash in? What are you, fucking moron? Priest.
Thing, one thing I will say about Edge right here. Because the performance level is high, this segment... This segment's not relevant if you're looking like 10 years ago or whatever. But in the current climate, this was one of the better parts of the show. It done nothing. It was just a case of Edge came out, said nothing. We've not advanced the storyline whatsoever. He's just come here and stalled on his decision. He didn't need to be there. He could have done this another way. But because the acting was good, where he turned around and went, you're doing awesome now. I was doing awesome years ago. And the things that he said and the way that he said it, like the performance, like just brings it up because no one else or very small handful of people can perform.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that sense, it was still worth having it here, and it was actually better than stuff that moved the storyline forward. If you look at Shane and Adam Pearce at the start, that was like awful. There's examples of awful acting throughout the show, but Edge is definitely not one of them.
Do you think Drew loses this match? So then. It's a bad guy who has it, which means Edge gets that person?
Nah, I think Edge turns heel at WrestleMania.
Okay.
He always got to look for the hints. He said, I need to win. You know who said, you know the last person that said he needed to win?
Austin.
I need to beat you, Rock.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Look at the history you get on the show. Like, it's just fucking insane.
And that's sad that we fucking remember things like that. But that was the good old days, so that's easy to remember shit.
It's allowed, yeah.
Yeah. You remember anything from 2 weeks ago, you should be fucking dragged into the streets. Priest versus Garza. Why is Bad Bunny still here? And it's always the celebrity is smart, the wrestler's a moron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well.
It's 100% true. It is always, they make the wrestler a fucking like a Big Show losing to fucking, you know, it's always Aki Bono threw fucking Big Show around. Mayweather beat the shit out of Big Show. It's always the fucking, so like when Shaq comes and he pushes around Big Show, it's like, okay, so he just walked into this arena and he's already whipping everyone's ass. Okay. Lee versus Riddle. After Lee wins, we get Lashley showing up and beating the shit out of everybody and pushing around. Lee wins, so Lashley and Riddle is just dropped. Is that what we're going to have?
Well, I think they're having a triple threat match, so I think I wrote that before I knew that. But still, yeah, like, weird because they're building towards this match and now they're not doing it. So,
table match, Jax versus Lana. Lana pushes this pig through a table. The one thing I did notice, besides the "my ouch, my hole" line when she lands on her fucking ass, is she yells and they bleep it out, "King Kong ain't got shit on me." Do you know where that's from?
I don't know, but I know she kept shouting, "Shut up, Trin. Shut up, Trin."
Oh, really? I didn't even... it's a Denzel Washington movie where he's a cop. He fucking yells, "King Kong ain't got shit on me." The fuck is the name of that movie? He's with fucking Ethan Hawke. And they're fucking... oh my God, it's going to drive me fuck crazy. And I know everybody driving in their cars screaming at the fucking radio too. Training Day. Thanks, everyone. I heard you. Okay. That's a great movie if you want to watch a movie too, by the way.
What's that about?
Ethan Hawke's a rookie cop and Denzel Washington's been a cop and they're like undercover type of people. But Denzel Washington on the bad side a little bit, he's a little bit corrupt. So it's a real good fucking movie though. And anything, you know, with Denzel's fucking good anyway. You ever seen that Airplane movie he was in?
No, but I watched a couple of his movies this month because it's Black History Month.
There you go. That's a good one.
Do my part.
Speaking of, we have Naomi versus Shayna Baszler, because after this match, they ran in and all that shit, and now they have to have a match. I didn't write who won because I don't know. I assume Naomi won.
Naomi did win. She pinned her out of a roll-up or something.
Okay. Orton versus Drew. Not for the title. Sheamus comes to watch, kind of distracts a little bit, and then he tries to run in the ring during this match and do a brogue kick, and McIntyre moves, hits Orton. Then he hits off the ropes and claymores Sheamus. DQ, that's how it ends. I'm so bored, you have no fucking idea. And that's the end of the show. I'm telling you, this show we do is 100 times better than if you were to watch the fucking wrestling show. This is what you have to follow. Just don't even watch the show and listen to us. You're going to get everything and way more entertaining.
Well... yeah, I don't even know how to argue with it. I mean, it's a good thing to like catch up on stuff. Obviously, I think if you can go through like the YouTube channels, like, and what's the show that Austin sometimes watches? Because even he's already at this stage where he hasn't got time.
Do they do 30 minutes in 3 hours or something? Like they do the 3 hour show in 30 minutes?
It's just raw highlights. It's edited together like by BT. But the thing is, it misses some stuff. Like it won't cut down matches. It will cut bits of Raw out, but it will take it into like 45 minutes to an hour. But I like the ones, I like those old shows. They really need to have those now where you like one guy presents it and he goes, "This week on Raw, we had this week on Raw, we had that." And then they like cut it down. There's this week in WWE, but it's Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But I think we really need a show. I really need a show that cuts this down to you know, these matches, these, you know, half an hour matches, like down to like 5 minutes where you just see the finish or whatever. That would be good. But I think they don't have these shows on purpose because they know that people would watch them instead.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for us this week. We are currently working on a Russo show as we speak, and that will be coming out the day after the pay-per-view of Elimination Chamber. So... look out for that. Go to Podcast on a Poll. And by the way, the winner of the drawing for writing the comments emailed me today.
Yeah, email.
He did. Okay, good. Because we told him, we directed him your direction.
He did.
Good. Oh, good. So he's in there. So yeah, go write a comment and 5 stars on podcast on a poll, and you'll be in the drawing for a toy from Billy. And do it that signed, way.
Signed toy.
There you go. Even better. Jesus Christ. Signed fucking toy of your fucking choice that he gives you. Fuck. I might go write a review so I get something. Where can we find your shit, Billy?
My shit is over at thedirtysheets.com. My betting stuff is, that's my wrestling stuff, but you can also get a betting package for UFC, boxing and wrestling over there, but it's mainly for the news. All my main betting stuff is over at lockbetting.com. I have to send you picture messages of the night we've been having, the nights we've been having in hockey and the NBA. We've also won 16 out of 17 days in tennis. It's just such a good month so far. We've won every single day. So if you want to get involved in that, the month is still early. Use a Patreon site. Everything's transparent. But if you sign up too late in the month, it's not worth it because they bill you for the entire month straight away. So that works if you've got like content that you that's not time sensitive, but gambling's content is. So sign up as early as you can. Podcast on a Poll has a Patreon page now. You can sign up for that from Valentine's Day. So if you love Podcast on a Poll, I'm already trying to say the line. But if you love Podcast on a Poll, then sign up on Valentine's Day. It sounds so stupid now. I'm going to have to try and get Vince to say it. And then, like, I reckon he'll probably be able to pull it off better. Like, because I wrote it, it sounds stupid to me.
Podcastonapoll.com. That's where you want to go.
Yeah.
All right. Go see all my bullshit at Lingus Mafia. That's always the fun stuff. There ain't no wrestling shit over there unless some crazy shit happens and I'll mention it. Otherwise, no fucking wrestling zone. I'm Cav Manning. He's Billy Body. And we'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.